Scripture reading this evening hour is out of the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, and chapter 17, 20 through 26. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 12. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. This is an answer of Jesus to the high priest about his disciples and his doctrines. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly. Oh, this is chapter 18, sorry. In the high priestly prayer. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Till this far, the reading of God's holy word, that the Spirit may bless the reading of the word to our heart. At the beginning of September 2024, when school started, I had a conversation with a student who began to wear a headscarf. In this sense, she told me, she became a visible Muslima. And she wanted to talk about this with me in a private conversation at school, just the first week of school. And our conversation quickly turned into to a talk about God, who God truly is, according what Islam teaches and according Christianity. Is God just one singular God, or is God three in one? And I talked about that for many times at school, and she said, yeah, you were talking about it, and for me it looks like you are talking about three gods. And I told her, yes, I do understand it, what you're saying, but still, I try to explain what the Trinity of God is. And in the end, I said this, because it's difficult to discuss the subject. And I said this to her. You know, all humankind, all people on earth, except you two, you are looking for spiritual rest, for peace in your heart. That's what mankind is doing. In whatever way you fill it in, that's true. But it says it is precisely this triune God, what I try to explain, three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the only God who can give you such a comfort and such a true peace. So all other religions, you have to work, you have to do, and you keep on doing. You have to do your five times prayers. You have to do all the five pillars of your faith, and it will never end. You will take it with you if you die, and you still have to do it. So, but then you will wake up, and you will see what God really is. God is a triune God. And people, this evening we were standing up. We had the Apostles' Creed. And every one of us made again a form of confession of faith. The I believe in. I believe. Remember? Well, in this reciting of the Apostles' Creed is also hidden that gracious doctrine of the Trinity, and that doctrine of the Trinity seeks to explain God's glorious self-revelation to us, to people. And therefore I want to read with you out of the Blue Psalter on page 15, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 8. That's on page 15, the back of your psalter. And Lord's Day 7, at the last question of Lord's Day 7, is about the Apostle Creed. Lord's Day 8 goes as this. How are these articles, the Apostle Creed, divided into three parts? God the Father and our creation, God the Son and our deliverance, God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. Three in one. Every person of the Trinity has its own work. Since there is but one God, why do you speak of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because that is how God has revealed himself in his word. These three distinct persons are one true and eternal God. That's a sermon on itself. Just live it and believe it. But I got some more time from the session, because I'd like to dig into it somewhat more. And therefore, brothers and sisters, this is what I actually wrote. let us enjoy. Let us enjoy the mystery, the majesty, and the glory of the Trinity, and rejoice in the blessings which the nature of our triune God has for our salvation. Because that's all about. It's all about what we had sung, holy, holy, holy. It's all about giving God glory, and that's only possible if Jesus lives in your heart. If that triune God is alive for you personally. I have 2 points this evening, 2 items. The Trinity is revealed in the Word, and that is a blessing for our salvation. The Trinity revealed in the Word. John 17 contains an amazing prayer. It is the prayer that God the Son has prayed to God the Father. It is one of those few places in the Bible where a person of the Trinity speaks to another person of the Trinity. It is God who speaks with God, or to God. But it is not God who speaks to himself. It is God the Son who prays to God the Father. And he prays for and about us. That's why we are here, actually. If that wasn't happened at the past, we were not sitting here either. That's why we are here. It is the high priestly prayer. And in the Old Testament, the high priest had a very special role. It was his duty to come into the presence of the Lord on behalf of the people. And that happened when he entered into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant stood. He wore a special breastplate with these 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, representing the whole people of Israel. And in that sense, so came he in the presence of the Lord, representing all of God's people. And we see Jesus here, the great high priest, how he entered the heavenly throne room of God, praying to the Father on our behalf, in verse 20 and 21. Christ is praying that his believers may become one as the Father and the Son are one. That's on itself a lesson. To become one. As God's people. Wherever we are, to be one. When we in due time enter the throne room, because we will enter, that's a certainty. Are we one? One in Christ. I just set it before you. And for myself. Now there are 2 things that stand out here in his prayer. Christ is he praying for a perfect unity among his people. A unity that reflects the unity between the Father and the Son. And the unity that we as a church may enjoy is a unity that is in the Father and in the Son. Verse 21, let them all be one, Father, as you are in me and I in you. Out of such a verse comes a question. Is there any desire in us to be one? To be one in Christ. To be one as a church of the living God. Is there a cry to him in us that his church may be one, that the earth may be filled with oneness in God? I in them, he prayed, you in me. Then they will be completely one. And the world will understand that you sent me and that you love them as you loved me. And the father loved his son so much that he gave him to us, for us, as a sacrifice. So according to verse 23, God the Son is in us. And then again, I need to put a mirror before your face and my own face. And then say the words again. God the Son is in us. And the Father is in the Son, and the Father loves us in the same way He loves the Son. Isn't that amazing? Just think about it. Think about the past. Think about who you are. Think about who God is. And then He says, God the Son is in us. Is that amazing that God can love you and me as He loved His own Son? That's the gospel. That's more than good news. That's amazing news. It's so deep, it's so high, it's so great that with this we can go into eternity. Only this. He gave everything. This is where God's revelation of Himself as a Trinity takes on real value. That's exactly what the young lady could not tell me about her faith, about the Islam. There was no way that she could come close to God, because that's a high form of deity that you cannot reach. The Bible teaches us that, I read on this Kevin DeYoung on the Heidelberg Catechisms. It's so worthwhile. And he said this. He had 7 brief points. I'm not going to explain all the points. I'm just going to mention the points and then find a copy and read it. And number one, he says, is there's only one God. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. Read it. It's really valuable. It gives you a kind of a grip what it is, what the triune God really is. The Bible teaches us that each of these statements is true, and none of these statements contradict each other. And our creeds declare the triune God is of one substance or one essence, but 3 persons. It's about His Godhood. I don't know if it's a good translation, but zijn Godheid, zijn Godhead. And it's that quality that makes God God. And it disappears all other religions. So when we confess that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are of one substance, we mean that they are all equal and complete God. And that they are all the one, only, true God. We cannot divide the Trinity like a cake in 3 quarters, in 3 parts. That's impossible. As you know, 1/3 is the Father, 1/3 is the Son, and 1/3 is the Holy Spirit. No, every person is God. If you would draw a circle, I do it for the kids at school, then I draw a circle on the board. So this is God. We cannot make any image. This is God. This is the Father, and this is the Son, and this is the Holy Spirit. And these 3 are one. But they're 3 persons. The Son did work for our salvation, and so on. These three are truly God. The Bible itself begins with the unity of God. You remember, if you go to Deuteronomy, well known by you all, Deuteronomy 6, very short verse, Deuteronomy 6, and the great Shema, verse 4, and it says, "Hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael." This is famous. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." That's beautiful. We can't teach it any stronger. This is what it is. From the oneness of God, the Bible teaches that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. I have a few verses for you to look at. You know, about the Father, just read Titus 1 verse 4. About the Son, John 1 verse 1, of course. He's the Word. He was there. About the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. They all speak that the Father is God, that the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Now from these few verses, and there are many other verses in the Bible, we so gladly conclude that Scripture itself proves that we have a triune God. They have their own personality, if I may say it, and they can even talk to each other, as we have read in the high priestly prayer. Each person of the Trinity is different. It was not the Father who was born. I told that to kids at school too. You celebrate Christmas, but what are you celebrating? The presence of the lights? And they go to church when we have our celebration for school, and then is it about Jesus is born, the Son of God is born, not the Father. The Father sent the Son. Just think for a moment of the announcement of the birth of the Son in Luke 1. Mary had asked how it is possible. The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will make you pregnant. And therefore, your child is the Son of God." And I told that Muslim, just read your Quran. Read about the wonderful, amazing birth of the Prophet Jesus. Because it's written. And then come to me and we're going to read this chapter again. How it says much more about this prophet. It wasn't simply a prophet. It was the Son of God. One of the persons of the Trinity. Just think of John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word, that is the Son of God, is separated from God as the Word was with God. And yet, the Word was God at the same time. The Word became flesh and dwelled in our midst. Full of grace and truth. That was the Word. It was truth. And we saw His greatness and the greatness of the only Son of the Father. So when God the Son became man, He did not cease to be God, but He remained God. And the glory of God was revealed in Him. He was sent by God the Father to do His will. And the Son did the Father's will. Completely. Perfectly. And He was one with the Father. And union between the Father and the Son is so complete that Jesus said in John 14, verse 9, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Just think about it. He who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. Have you seen Jesus in his word? This morning, it was about a moment with Jesus. Just think about it. That you have seen the Father. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father," says Jesus, "and that the Father is in me? I do not speak for myself when I speak to you, but the Father who abides in me. He does his work through me." Jesus says simply, "Believe me. I am in the Father, and the Father is me." We are one. One God. And then in John 8, verse 16, our Lord declared his perfect union with the Holy Spirit. "And I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." That's Jesus. "I will come to you." The Holy Spirit. So the Son prayed to the Father and he sent the Spirit, and by the Spirit the Son remained with his people. And he's always praying in a place where there is no time. Well, concluding this part, we may say that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Perhaps it is for you, you know, in Dutch, skip and klaar. You knew it all. Right? This is no strange language about the unity. Believe you. Do you believe it? Do you experience it? The nearness of the Father. The loving hand of the Father. The correcting hand of the Father. Do you experience the work of the Spirit in your life? That he is guiding you and leading you even against your own will? Do you love the Lord Jesus because he loved you first? Because he cried on the cross, "It is finished." Yeah, finished. And he stood up out of the grave. Dear friends, we have to do with a God who is in a perfect unity. And he is the only triune God. It's not Allah, it is not Buddha. It is God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he is a blessing for our salvation. We professed our faith by reciting the Apostles' Creed. And I hope and pray that it is truly a confessing of your faith by reciting it. That it is a part of your life. This is who he is for me. That you confess that it is God the Father who is the Creator, who chooses us, who made us out of nothing. It's God the Son who paid the price and who delivered us. And it's God the Holy Spirit who sanctified us, who cleansed us from all our corruption. And through him we can appear before a holy God. Only before him. It is useful, it's even necessary to recognize the different roles of each other, of the Trinity. But we do not separate them. That's what I tell the kids at school too, the one who are in high school. We cannot separate them. They are one. as if the Son has nothing to do with creation and the Father had nothing to do with salvation. Scripture teaches us how the three persons of the Trinity were together in creation, in redemption, and in sanctification. In Genesis 1, we are told that God was the Creator. In John 1, verse 3 says that the world was made by the Son. And Hebrews 1, verse 2 says the same thing. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. They were there. They were always there. Before time, they were there. Because on the first day, God created light. Simple light. He made time for people like you and me. And God said, let us make man in our image. The Trinity can also be seen in our salvation. It was not the Son's decision to save us, but the Father. John 3:16, God loved the world and gave His Son. In John 6:38, I came down from heaven to do my Father's will. And when Jesus went home, the Father and the Son sent the Spirit to complete the work of the Father and the Son. That's why we are together. That's why there is a church on earth. And a church that is still growing. Perhaps we don't see it, but the church of Jesus Christ is growing every day until the kingdom of God will be filled. What a God we serve. Yes? What a triune God we serve. What a joy. Besides all our sorrow that we experience. And we do. We do. That's life on earth. But there will come a time that we may see Him face to face. A triune God. And I have no idea how that will be. But it will be perfect. There will be no crying. There will be singing. There will be rejoicing. Some say there will be recognition. Okay. I want to see my Master. That's my desire. I want to see Him who did it all with His hands pierced, with a crown on His head, but then, for our thinking, a kingly crown. He's the King of Kings. Him will I see. Him we shall see. The question for the same question as this morning. Are you a friend of Jesus? Because Jesus loves you. What a blessing we have from the Trinity. That we are given a redemption and are brought into the presence of God in a way that could never be if we had a God of one person. We need three. That's the way to come before God. Because God is triune, we can be brought to God the Father and be loved by Him. Why? Because Jesus is in heaven. He is in person in heaven. He's praying in heaven. And in the same way that the Father loves His Son, He will love you. Can you imagine? Look in the mirror who you are. That He loves you. Sure. Because of the grace of our triune God, salvation is so much more than simply forgiving our sin. It's much more. By the grace of our triune God, we are brought into the presence of God. The Son opened the way for us to return to the Father. but then perfectly. He is the second Adam. And we be his adopted children. Still adopted. And he accepts us. The Spirit brings us to the Father, where we enjoy their presence forever. And that changes everything. Right? I hope something lives in your heart, you know, that you may long for it, that you have a desire to experience it. Instead of seeing God as someone far away, now we can embrace Him as our Father, for we are loved by Him with the same love wherewith He loved His Son. This is truly good news. This is the gospel. There is nothing of ourselves, but it's all in the triune God. He did it all. I did nothing. I made a mess. That's it. But He did it all. I hope and pray that you may see yourself in the mirror as a child bought by Christ, loved by the Father, fed through the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you with thanksgiving, with a humble heart, because you have done it all. You are all and in all the greatest God forever. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your time. We thank you for your grace. And we pray, Lord, will you help us to continue our path on earth, and that people may see, simply see, He loves God above all. Lord, bless us so. Bless the children. Bless the unborn children. Protect us all, Lord. Take us in your arms. And keep on praying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.